Fighters, it's time for the Thursday Q&A episode here on the Contractor Fight podcast. We take your questions and we answer them here on the show. Send your questions to help@thecontractorfight.com with the subject line podcast to get your questions in front of us. Tom and I will pick the questions that are the most relevant to the people here in the fight. You guys rock. Let's do this.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on the Q&A episode of the Contract Fight podcast. Dan, let's talk sales. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, Tom. How about yourself?
I'm doing peachy keen. So we are live in a few different places right now, and I want to go into the chat box and find some questions here that are good for the episode here, guys, today, because we want to answer your questions. So let's see. Architectural sheet metal. I'm reading this on the fly, so I don't know if we're answering this yet. So I watched your video on adding 50%. It's not adding 50%, by the way. So basically double the material labor. Yeah. See, adding 50%, if my labor and material cost me 1,000 and I added 50%, I'd add 500. Okay. So make sure I know what you mean here, but make sure terminology matters, you guys. Okay. So basically double the material and labor costs. So I did this. No one's calling. I'm all about charging more, but should we not dive deep on our numbers? Yes, you should always dive deep in your numbers. You should know what you need to charge and charge according to that data, because I know the industry standard is a crapshoot, but there is a ceiling in any market for what we can charge. Yeah. Well, I don't know if no one's calling, that's a leads issue. So that I don't know if you mean nobody's calling you back. It sounds like, should I go 2x4 between the eyes, or should I just have some tact here? What do you guys think? I'm going to wait. I want the chat box to tell me.
I'd go 4x4.
2x4, 4x4 between the eyes for architectural sheet metal, who's a frequent attendee of this. So I love you. Okay. Yeah. I love you. I want you to know I love you. Okay. So somebody on Facebook says 2x4. I'm going to just see the consensus that comes in here a bit. Oh, it's all 2x4s. All right. So yeah, it's the 2x4s just keep coming, Dan. So architectural sheet metal, I love you. I love you, but it really sounds like you suck at sales. You fucking suck at sales because you are not connecting with people. I would bet Dan's testicles that you're not connecting with people on an emotional level. Never bet your own nuts, man. Like,
okay. We're all out. You bet mine all the way for years.
Rule number one, I always bet somebody else's balls, not your own. But anyway, you guys get the point. I would take it to the bank that you're not connecting with people on an emotional level. You are an order taker. And that's right now in this economy, recession, all the other bullshit, blah, blah, blah. This is for everybody, not just who I'm answering the question for. You are being exposed right now for the type of salesperson you are. You're either an order taker or you're fucking sales assassin. Okay.
That's mindset issue.
Yeah. Because it is easy to sell. Okay. So I don't know your first name, architectural sheet metal. So maybe I just call him or her ASM. ASM. Okay. ASM. Like Dan said, this is a mindset issue. This is it's a mindset issue and it's a skills issue. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sales is a skill. Yes, of course, every industry has what the market will bear to some point. Okay. I get that. Like I could go and I don't care. You know, I don't know. Let's pick a fucking BMW, right? If, you know, I'm not going to go spend 200 grand on a BMW. It ain't going to happen. Okay. Like just not going to happen. So I'm not going to spend 5 grand to paint the walls in a 12x12 bedroom. It ain't going to happen. However, you can easily charge double of what your competitors are in that. I hate the term going rate, but in that going rate, you guys, when you work on your sales skills. And so ASM here, man, I want to encourage you. Dan, I'm to the point now where I'm just unapologetically saying you need to get your ass into our sales training programs.
Yeah. Okay?
It's really that simple, you guys, because those who do and they take it serious. Hey, guys, a lot of you guys don't know this. We have daily sales role plays inside Battleground 5 days a week, every day. Like Dan, you were this morning, what? There were 15 of our
15
members?
People, two top coaches, myself and Tim. And just people getting just nugget after nugget. And the people are showing up daily to this. There's a handful of them that are always there are just leaps and bounds improving. So it's, and they came in kind of sucking, to be honest, because they had been practicing and they could be on the sidelines with it. And it really is just get your feet wet and you advance.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, earlier I said to ASM here that you suck at sales and I would bet you're not connecting emotionally. So understand, I'm not judging you as a human being. Okay. I'm just saying, like, it's me with admin skills, right? Tom sucks at admin shit.
Yes, he do.
Okay? Yes, I do. In fact, Tom sucks at most things. He's just really, really fucking good at a couple things. Okay. And guys, this is one of those things where I'm thinking, Dan, you know, what really makes, how do you know? I asked this question in one of our groups the other day, like, how do you know you're good at sales? Right. Like it was a general question. And it was funny, some of the answers. And because I was genuinely just curious what people thought. Mm-hmm. And for me, I answer it as this: you consistently hit your sales goals every month and you sell your projects at the target that you need to be hitting for your profit, mm-hmm. Regardless of what your competitors are charging. Okay. I personally think if you're good at sales, you're easily selling your work at 30, 50, 100% more than your competitors consistently, and you're hitting your sales goals and you're not laying awake at night wondering how you're going to pay the bills. I mean, I think it's a combination of those things.
Yeah. When you're not getting tons of objections, and that's it. And with architectural ASM, it's just like, I see the mindset thing with him on this more. It's like he's doubting what the market can bear. And honestly, when the phone's not ringing, again, I don't know if it's a lead issue or if you're not calling it back after he gives prices out, the less work you're doing, the more militant you have to be about charging enough to keep the dream alive, because every job means more. And then also every lead means more. And so you have to go in there with that assassin mindset. And like myself, there's got to be a million painters in my town. It's like a 4-square-mile town, and right this summer. And I'm the only guy that sells paint jobs when I'm selling paint. And you just have to believe it and throw your pricing out there. Like you say, connect with the homeowner, but not make assumptions of what the market is. Know your numbers so you know what you have to charge. Once you see that number, you know you're fucking yourself if you go under it. And that's the number one way to convert your mindset. It's like really know the math and know when you're just kicking yourself in the nuts.
Yeah. You know, Nicole just typed in, sales is a skill, guys. It can be learned, right? And it's also, I would put in there, it's a perishable skill.
Absolutely. Like, it's like shooting a gun.
Yeah, like Dan, you go to the range all the time. So you're, you know, and so do I, to keep my skills sharp. Okay. If you don't play pool on a regular basis, you're going to not be as good at pool. If I don't practice my drums on a regular basis, mm-hmm. I'm rusty. If you're not practicing sales, and then to me, that's another indicator whether you're a real sales professional or not. Professionals practice.
Yeah. I remember when I first hired you 7 years ago, and I had a lot of sales experience at that point with selling internationally. I was crap, and he challenged me on being a better salesman, told me I sucked. And so I joined in the CSA at that time. And it's true. And because you get stagnant, you get wins in any aspect of life, but sales is the same way. And what I've learned since then, since I shift my mindset and have constantly been training and surround myself with growth opportunities, and is that my sales thing, it changes throughout a season at this point, because you adapt to the market climate, you adapt to all this other shit that's going on. And if you keep that always learning thing with your sales, it's it just comes fucking easy. Like the phone rings and I book work.
Well, last thing on this, you guys, and then I'm going to get to Crystal's question here. Some of you haven't felt this yet. Okay. You know, because of the economy, but I don't care what anyone says, it's a fucking recession, and it is what it is, right? Fine. It's the conditions everybody's dealt, right?
Yeah, sun came up.
Yeah. So what many of you will experience in the coming weeks and months, maybe some of you already are, is don't be surprised if however many leads you're getting now is cut in at least in half. Okay. Because a lot of people are going to be like, oh, I'm going to wait until the economy's better and then I'm going to do my project or whatever it is, right? Now, there are certain people that no matter what the economy is, they're going to fucking spend money, right? I'm one of them, by the way. So I'm just like, whatever. I just want what I want. I'm going to do what I want and blah, blah, blah. However, so if you're getting 100 leads a month right now, plan on 50 pretty soon. That means, you guys, more than ever, you have to be a better salesperson. More than ever, your skills have to be sharp because you have less at-bats to, remember earlier we talked about sales goals and hitting sales. Maybe that was another episode. But anyway, we talked about if you're going to be a true sales professional, you got to hit these goals. You got to hit your profit margins. In fact, less at bats means your closing rate needs to go up. And because it's less at bats and potentially smaller number of actual projects that you sell, you actually need to sell them at a higher profit margin. So a lot of guys right now, in the last recession, Dan, I saw a lot of people that were cutting prices to get work and they ended up going out of business when everything was cut in half. Our volume was lower, all that other shit. It was a pain in the ass. It sucked. It was a kick to the dick, right? But we actually raised our prices during the recession. Okay. Mm-hmm. And because that meant, you know, instead of making $2,000 on a job, we made $3,000 or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
And because of that, we were able to, you know, weather the storm and go through it. We came out the other end beaten up and bruised, but we were still strong. Okay. Yeah. So hopefully that makes sense, you guys.
Fighters, most contractors are undercharging for the value that they bring. We're always preaching you got to get a 50% gross profit on your work. So many of you, so many contractors are confused on how to do that. And that's why we have our 50% sheet. It's free. You just download it. You have instant access. If you want to grab it, head to contractorfight.com/50 and start dialing in those numbers and making the money that you deserve. It's time to quit stealing from your family. Go to contractorfight.com/50.
Crystal asked a question. Yep. In the service industry, when a customer calls for work to be done and schedules a job based on bracketing over the phone, would you count that in the monthly sales goal, or would only estimates approved for bigger jobs count in that sales goal? I count everything. If I'm selling something, if it's an $89 service call, mm-hmm. $5,000 project, to me, it all counts toward the sales goal personally.
Yeah, like it's
money I sold, right? There's an agreement. And guys, and again, remember, if I say my sales goal is $150,000 a month, that doesn't mean I'm collecting $150,000 in that month. Okay. What it means is I'm going to sell Dan a project. Dan's going to give me a deposit of $15,000. Okay. That's revenue for the month, but maybe Dan's project is $40,000, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. The $40,000 counts towards the sales goal. The $15,000 is towards the revenue. Okay. So to me, a sale, you guys, is I've got a signed contract and some sort of deposit.
Yeah. And Crystal's case being service electrical stuff, it's probably a little bit of both. That's what these smaller jobs she's talking about.
Yeah.
She'll sell them and produce them pretty quick.
Yeah. So to me, Crystal, you know, I mean, we used to do, Dan, I know you've done smaller jobs. You did a thing where, you know, like a painter for a day type thing. It might only be, you know, 400, 500 bucks, 600 bucks or whatever. Or yeah. I know back in the day you did a direct mail thing where it was a, 300 bucks or whatever you did. And it was like,
walls only thing. And then
got you in the door and then you upsold the shit out of people. You know,
yeah. Every job turned out to be like 3,500 bucks. And it was a 350, 349 hook to get in.
Yeah. So you 10X the original ticket. So, but yeah, guys, everything counts. So, and Crystal, in your case, I've done this with trying to think, I did it with a lot of pond people that I've coached through the years and things like that, where they had their service and then they had their construction side of the business, you know? And so we would set a service goal and a construction goal, number of leads needed, number of jobs needed, all that other shit. So that's usually how I would have done it. A couple more questions. We got some good ones here. Steven asks, how does time blocking and management, so I guess time management, mm-hmm. benefit sales? That's a great question.
That is a great question. For me, it's just like being on your A game when you're doing it. So the big time blocking I do with my sales is I've got a 3-hour block of time that I accept new calls from people. So I'm just like, I'm in the Dan zone where my head is calm. I've got all my bullshit from the morning done and I'm someplace where I can just focus on it. And I'm just way more effective. You catch me late afternoon, I'm pretty scatterbrained and blown out at that point. So I don't want to be on a sales call. So Steven, I would just kind of look at your day and look at when you're mentally the sharpest, where you can give people the time, figure out what your average sales call is. Then you can set that block of time based on your availability and the lead flow that you have. And then fit the rest of the day, the things that are distracting you, either follow up with other sales, that's another time block I have, and then the rest of the bullshit of life. So for me, it's just it's just like working out, Tom. Like, you know, it's like you figure out, you start your day, gets your mindset right. Like, just figure it out, time block, and focus on sales so you do it.
Yep. And Stephen, sales is an activity game, okay? Meaning activity will lead you to cash and checks and closing deals and shit like that. And so I time block the activities. So for instance, one of the things that we coach people to do is what we call UITs, right? And they're short little video messages that we send to past customers or prospective clients. We kind of script it out and we teach people how to do that. And I'm thinking of somebody right now who is in Battleground, and it's like every 5 or 6 days he texts me that he sold another $80,000 project or $130,000 project, literally by sending 15 to 30 second text. And so that is something that gets time blocked, going, hey, I used to do similar to that. This is a really long time ago. I would do it via text or email back before video was like a really big thing back in the early 2000s. It was harder to send videos, you guys, believe it or not. But I used to block when I would sit down and have my coffee and I'd do some reading and stuff. I would spend 15, 20 minutes literally just sending 5 or 6 quick messages to prospects that, you know, I want to do work for, relationships that I want to have, past customers. Hey, Dan, just thinking about your deck that we stained last year. I hope all is well. Really wanted to thank you for having us out there. Have a great week, man. Send. Like, yeah. So I started my day with sales activity. Guys, you got to think of that sales activity as you're planting seeds that are going to grow over time. Okay. That's what prospecting is.
Yeah. And the time blocking too, like the number one, when people don't have a real sales system or a process, that's when all the estimates are stacked up on a Friday night and they lose their weekends, or they're staying up burning the candle at both ends. By dedicating time to do this shit, like, you just always stay ahead of demand and you never get that overwhelmed feeling. At least that's how it worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge advantage. Because it's kind of, I can be a natural procrastinator. And when it's on my calendar, nothing else is getting scheduled, it gets done. And like, I can follow somewhat routine, but otherwise shit gets away from you.
All right. Service, industry, empire. What are types of recurring revenue for a painting business? So let me, real quick, service, industry, empire. If you're a painting company, if that's your company name, service, industry, empire, I suggest you change it if you're just a painting company, okay? I don't know, because it's through YouTube here, but if you're a painting business, that's a terrible name for your company because it doesn't tell anybody what the hell you do. I have no idea. That could be like a, to me, it could be a fucking, you know, commercial laundry service for all I know. Okay. So anyway, or maybe you're a coach or something as I'm looking at this. I don't know what your name is, but whatever. Recurring revenue for painting business. You know, I think you can do a, you know, I know there's people that offer lifetime touch-ups. I think that's a great idea where you literally just get back in the door once a year and you do an inspection for people. I think there's soft washing, pressure washing type things you could do. So if you paint an exterior, you can sign somebody up for an annual soft wash to extend the life of the paint job. And that can include, you know, an upsell or whatever for gutter cleaning. I've known people that have added window washing. You know,
little services just to get you back on the property and get you in front of the customer. And like, as much as I hate fucking decks, one thing that's nice about them is that around here, they don't last that long. It's like 12 to 18 months. You got to do something to them and all clear finish stuff. And so it gets you on site and there's always something else. You meet them at the door, the front dog scratched the front door up. It always grows. So it's the premise of the warranty call, right, Tom? Just kind of get back in front of them, and people have to-do lists, they don't necessarily always pick up the phone and engage them. But when you're there, it's a layup.
Yeah, painting is one of those things where, having done thousands of projects, it's an annoyance for people because I do this. I walk through my house and I'm like, man, that base in the foyer looks fucking ratty, you know? And it's just I can do it. I can certainly do it. I know how to do it. I've done it, right? But I don't feel like crawling around on my hands and knees and shit. And so if my painter, who we've used here, They do nothing to keep in touch with me, by the way. They did a great job. Super nice married couple in a small company that they have. They were clean, efficient. Everything was awesome. They communicated well. And they painted a year ago for us down here and also our exterior. I've not gotten one thing from them. Yeah. Okay. that stayed in touch with me.
And email marketing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like email marketing, direct mail, whatever. And if I literally, if they were to say, hey, the third Friday of every month, we have a small project day for our team. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I don't care, whatever. You know, if you got some nitpicky little things, some drywall that needs repair, some baseboards, give me some ideas, right? Plant some seeds. And people are like, start looking around. They're like, yeah, this looks ratty. You know, consider scheduling our painter for a day or whatever. Click this. I would click it and I would hire them. I'd give them $500 for the day to come in here and just kind of do what they need to do. That would be an amazing way to get back in the door and keep recurring revenue.
Yeah. Communicate and just exactly to help them identify shit. They're not, you walk through your house every day, you don't notice that something looks, there's a hole in the door, the wall from the doorknob or something, but suddenly you drop it in somebody's mind, then they can't forget it. They have to fix it.
All right. One more question here. And by the way, Service Industry Empire says that's not the name of his business, but thanks for the input. LOL.
Aspirational title.
There you go. That's so good. So Facebook user, I think is Brandon, kind of a two-part question. He first asked, and then I asked for his name. Should sales goals, I think I asked for his name. Anyway, should sales change when you're booked out 2 to 3 months? And then I think this is a follow-up from him. He says, on my sales goal question, we're electrical and most of our jobs people want within a few weeks. Tough to get them to wait months. Well, your sales goal, you guys, should be evaluated damn near weekly. Okay. Am I on target? Am I not on target? Like if, let's say this month, Brandon, your sales goal was $100,000 and you hit 80. Okay. And you sold 80. I didn't say not, you produced it, but you sold 80. You're $20,000 behind. So next month's goal or the next couple months, you got to add $5,000 a month or whatever it is to stay on track for the year.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
and this is, to me, that's a production capacity question. Like you've got your sales goals that are based on your revenue, what you're trying to hit for the year. If you're booked out a certain amount of time and you can't hit it because you can't produce this shit, that to me is like you have to labor up to either hit your goal or adjust. So no matter how much you sell, if you can't get it done.
Yeah. And this is always, guys, this is the chicken and the egg thing, man. You know, and it will always be, there's always going to be a tension between what you sell and what you can produce. You should always way outsell what you can produce. Here's why. So Brandon, if this helps, keep selling. Okay. Earlier, or maybe the last episode we recorded, we talked about how to have conversations and salesmanship to really connect with people emotionally and practice having these conversations when people have to wait. And if they really need it done and you can't do it, it just is what it is, right? But you will find, number one, a lot of people will wait if you connect with them and they really want you. Number two, I see this all the time, Dan. People go, I'm going to stop selling because I'm booked out so far. And then what happens is one of those big jobs or a couple of those gets postponed. They get put off. Now they get a fucking month that's open. And now they don't have any money and they're broke again going into the winter. I see that all the fucking time because people stop selling. So I would rather sell, communicate with people that were booked out, and then pick the phone up and go, hey, Dan, I got great news. We had a project postponed. I can move you up a month.
Yeah. Or when you're booking stuff out, you're keeping a day. Like Steve with his pond business went Monday to Thursday, kept Friday open always, and Saturday was a flex day for the guys on his crew that wanted to do it. So he could be booked out 3 months, but in reality, he's got 2 weeks of days available. So he can slide people forward. Nobody bitches when you move them forward. And you can drop stuff in, or there's room for upselling. So there's lots of ways to skin a cat on this to be able to pick up the cherries that kind of drop in your lap on a timely basis.
Yeah, and there's I don't want to get into the weeds on this one. We do this in our group because it requires more time. But you guys, you should have a production goal each year too that's based on what your capacity is. Okay, so I'll just use painting because it's simple. So we typically charged about $100 a man hour, and that included paint and basic supplies for us. Okay. This is a long time ago. So basically, like I said, if it's like a 4-hour room to paint the walls in a small bedroom, we'd charge $400 with basic like Promar 200 or Super Spec or something like that as a basic paint grade. We got amazing bulk pricing on all that shit. So I had it all dialed in to where we were making well above 50% gross profit on a room like that and all this other shit. Okay. So that being said, so I'll just use $100 an hour, right? Well, guys, if I have one full-time painter in the field and you got 22 working days in a month times 12, that's about 264 days. Okay. Hopefully you guys are tracking with me here if you're listening. And then if I do 264 days times an 8-hour day, that's 2,112 man hours that that person is being paid for. Okay. Now, what I did, and I was taught to do early on by others, so I didn't think of this. Somebody smarter than me at the time taught me this, was I multiplied that 2,112 times 0.85 or so. And that means it was about 1,700. So just round it to 1,800 billable hours, because some of those other hours, you guys, are not production. They're sitting in a meeting, you know, our weekly crew leader meeting, our company meetings. There's drive time. There's
traffic. Yep.
Okay. So we would budget on around 1,800 hours, but you know, I'll just use 1,800 for now. Hopefully you guys are tracking with me. So now if I go, that's one painter has the capability of producing 1,800 hours worth of work. And let's just say I have nine painters. I have capacity of 16,200 man hours times $100 per man hour. My production capacity is 1.6 million. Okay. So this works together with your sales goal. So I, you know, a lot of guys are like, lick my finger, create a sales goal. And they go, I'm going to grow from 300 grand to 800 grand this year. And then you go, okay, well, what can you produce? You know, like if your team, I know we all want to hire and shit, but guys, the reality is it takes some time to find the right people and build a culture and all those different things. So you need to play the long game with this. But your current reality right now is if you're a three-man company, okay? So in that example I gave, 1.6 million divided by nine guys, I know it's about 180,000 of revenue per field employee. So in that case, times three, if I have a three-man team in the field, I have capacity about $500,000, give or take.
Yeah.
And the chat box just really got really quiet because I think I just fried mines here.
Math up. Yeah. I wish I had another angle on it, but this is the way you taught me to do it too. So,
yeah. I mean, it's, you can only produce what, so don't set like $1 million revenue goal if you can't produce more than $500,000. You're going to need to learn how to live within your means of the $500,000 that you can actually produce. And as the years go by and you build your brand and all that other shit, you know, you should, you know, you'll scale your team and your capacity will go up. Yeah. Your revenue capacity can also go up through upselling. Okay. And we teach that a lot. All right. Last question, because it's a quickie here. Edward, should I work weekends to meet production and sales goals? Yes. Okay. Like that's my take. I'm a psycho. I don't believe in ever taking a fucking day off because I'm a psycho workaholic. Now I also have a really nice life and a balance. So it's like I work every day for the most part, but it's not like I'm slaving away every day, if that makes sense, you guys. So Edward, we would have conversations with our team, especially those of you that are seasonal and weather related and shit like that. I'll just speak, Dan and I are both painting contractors. So like Dan, sometimes you have to go to the team and you're like, hey guys, it's looking like rain on Thursday, you know? So I'm going to find some interior work for us on Thursday. They're quick hitter jobs, but you know, I need us to work Saturday. We got to stay on schedule. Like it's just the fucking reality.
Yeah. Right? Other times, like you're going through the summer and you know, you've got that back to school rush that's coming. Like I want to come into September always like with a really light schedule. It seems kind of scary, but there's a lot of money fucking sitting around in the fall. And if I'm booked that 6 week coming in September, I'm screwed. I can't really book anymore. So I'll run up at the spurs to the guys all summer long. So we're coming in dry to the second bump in the season for the exterior. And then we can just suck all that shit up because other people are all at capacity and that's high margin work, easy sales. And then you get shut down. You can't always work 6 days.
I'm not saying this is the case with Edward who asked the question here. So Edward, I'm not saying this is all, I'm just saying in my experience, when I talk to people, coach people for thousands of people, I often see people go, I want to have a nice work-life balance and I'm not going to work weekends and I'm not going to this. And guys, if that's what you want, then you should work for somebody else. Okay. Especially in the earlier years, meaning like the first decade of your business. Okay. I personally think like as a founder, as a new business owner, as somebody who's like, there are no days off, you guys. Yep. It is a grind. You are going to work your ass off. If you want this nut, like a lot of people are trying to live this. All right, we'll use Steve, right? You know, who, you know, sold a couple of multi-million-dollar businesses, coach, partner, all this other stuff in the fight. Steve's got a lifestyle where he's got a shit ton of money, vacations, takes time off. Many of our coaches do. But guys, they've been at it for decades. They've built a they built companies that can run without them working every day and putting in those hours. But in these early days, you guys, if your hands aren't and knuckles aren't bloodied at the end of every day from the effort you're putting in to build your business, I don't think you're serious about it. I think you're fucking treating it like a hobby, personally.
The only caveat I add to that is make sure you're fucking making money. You're not just working every day to make ends meet. Because there's a difference between building your brand and trying to scale and pouring yourself into it and just like having to work 6 or 7 days because you're not charging enough or you're bleeding out. So
like we see this all the time, man. We get people that are like, I don't have any leads. And I ask them, well, how are you spending their time? And they're fucking watching Netflix every night until 11:30 and they're taking the weekends off. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? You haven't earned the right to take any time off. Your phone ain't ringing. You fucking have a family that you're failing because you're not fucking doing your job, motherfucker. That's literally what I think. And you are being a lazy piece of shit that thinks you're entitled because you now have your fucking name on the shingle of the business. Fuck you and get off your ass and support your family, you piece of shit. All right? Seriously, dude, you do see the messages that we get. And you know I get fired up with this stuff because you are, seriously, guys, if that's you, if the shoe fits, okay? And that always cracks me up. My football coach used to say that. And we never knew. What the hell does that mean? But anyway, it means if what I'm about to say applies, put the fucking shoe on and wear the shoe and apply it to yourself. And if it doesn't apply, then let it roll off your back like water off a duck, right? Whatever the saying is. But here's the deal. If you're the type of person that's bitching about not having money, bitching about not being able to sell at higher rates, bitching about not having lead flow, can't find guys, all this other shit, and you are not creating content every night at the fucking kitchen table, if you are not prospecting 7 days a week and sending UIT videos and all the other things that we fucking teach and building your brand and bettering your skills as a salesperson, if you're not doing those things, here we go. This is what you should do. You should walk up and line up Mama Bear and the baby bears, stand them in the kitchen and look at them and go, fuck you. I don't care about you, you fucking pieces of shit. Fuck off. That's what you should do. Because that's, in essence, what you're doing with actions. And you guys think I'm full of shit, but you're the ones that fucking wake up 17 years from now calling yourself a business owner. You don't have a fucking thing to show for it except a bad back and a tiny ass fucking bank account that matches the size of your pecker. All right? So get off your fucking ass and either go work for somebody or do the shit that you need to do as a business owner. I am so fucking sick of this shit, Dan, of people like, because, and some of you, I'm going to speak to some of you that are in our Battleground program. Some of you are like, I'm going to join Battleground and it's going to magically change my fucking life. We have over 300 people in that fucking group and we only have about 13 to 15 people doing daily role plays.
Yeah.
Okay. That we give you one-on-one attention. And by the way, we're a group coaching program and we give you fucking one-on-one attention to get better at sales. And 15 of you show up. What the fuck are you doing with your time?
Yep.
Tell you what you're doing with your time. You're saying, fuck you, family. That's what you're doing with your time.
And your crew. Don't forget to put your guys in that fucking line.
And their families too. Line up everybody in their families and go, fuck you. I don't care about any of you. You know why? Because I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like doing this. I'm not motivated to do this. Fuck your motivation. Do your damn job. Okay. You know, like I've been coached for years and my coach, Ben, you've heard Ben say it. I'll use his terminology. It's the standard over feelings. Success does not give a shit how you feel. Okay. I don't feel like staying up late. I feel like watching Netflix and smoking a J instead of creating content at the fucking kitchen table. All right. Jesus.
Yeah. The answer is smoke a J and write content at your kitchen table.
There you go. My friends, I hope you understand that this fire and passion is because I give a fuck about you. I care about you. All right. I had a conversation with a guy a few weeks ago. All right. Who a few years ago was loading a fucking gun. Okay. He went out of his way to call me a few weeks ago and he told me, I never told you the story, but I was loading a gun. And he said, I'm either going to take myself out or I'm going to do something to somebody else. That's where I was at the end of my rope. And he says, somehow I grabbed my phone and something popped up, a video with the contractor fight on YouTube. And he's like, I call it divine intervention. I don't care what you call it. It started playing. It was me on one of these rants going, get your fucking head out of your ass and be a man. All right. Do what fucking providers do and all this other bullshit. And he's like, dude, you saved my fucking life. You literally saved my life. And Dan, you see the messages we get. My wife hates me and my kids don't talk to me and I don't know what to do. You know why your wife hates you guys? Because you don't fucking honor the commitments that you make and they think you're full of shit. And I'm only speaking to the men right now. All right. And I hear this daily from people. My wife doesn't believe in my dream. You know why? Because you've fucking been bullshitting her with your lack of action the fucking past 7 years. And she's tired of
the dream
in the bread line and wondering if she has money to buy groceries, you piece of shit. All right. So that's why your wife doesn't believe in you. Now, there are the rare exceptions that you're married to some batshit crazy woman. I get that. All right. There's always the percentages, but 99% of you motherfuckers that don't have the support at home that you want, it's because of you being full of shit. I see it thousands of times a year. All right. Fuck guys. My relationship with the queen is stellar. You know why it's stellar? Because I work on me first. I honor the fucking commitments that I make first. If I say I'm going to work out, I'm going to work out. Shit. That was the last episode we did. I was down with fucking COVID hard and I still got up and finished my phase 2 of 75 hard and worked and I did it and my gallon and my reading, even when I didn't fucking feel like it. You know what that does? Her respect for me goes up. And guess what? It works both ways because she fucking betters herself every day too. A lot of you guys are struggling in your relationships because you refuse to do what's required of you regardless of how you feel. It's that fucking simple.
Yeah.
Jesus. I should be a marriage counselor.
You imagine you're all fired up. Yeah, I can.
Who's that old psycho commercial? You know, a former drill instructor being your therapist. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
You get upset. Oh, fuck you, you little puss. Anyway. All right, my friends. Hopefully something lit a fire under your ass here today. This shit matters. Okay. Everything you do and everything you don't do matters. And I know the theme of this has been sales, because guys, it's all about oxygen. And this time that we're going into right now with the economy and inflation and all the bullshit and this and that, you can either be one of the victims or you could go do your job. Okay. It's that simple. Do your job or play the victim card. It's on you. All right.
Step over all the other people that aren't doing shit. Everyone else is taking their foot off their gas or playing small. You should sell hard and you can leaps and bounds people this time of year.
Yeah, because here's the other thing that's going to happen. Keep selling because your competitors, they're going to puss out. They ain't going to keep selling. They're going to lose their guys. You're going to pick up their guys and your capacity is going to fucking double. All right. But it ain't if you don't have fucking sales on the board. All right. I promise you, the longer this goes, because we're just into it now, but the longer it goes, you're going to start seeing people tapping out of your competitors' companies. And this is the time to step on the gas to build your brand, run ads, all that other stuff, and go, guys, we're booked out 17 months. Come work.
They're looking for safety and security in the future, and nothing hires people. But all these hiring problems, like a full sales book, gets a lot of people on board because they know that they're going to have work and they're going to fucking be able to pay them, provide for them.
Yep. All right. Well, shit, we've gone an hour. I got a call in 6 minutes. I got to get on. You got open coaching coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, we appreciate you being here, part of the fight when we do these lives and stuff like that. If you have questions, send them to the helpthecontractorfight.com and just say, I got a sales question and we'll tackle it here. Super appreciate everybody being here. Get your ass to Mile High Profit Summit in September. I'm telling you, if you find a way to get there and you don't walk out of there with something going, oh my God, this is changing the game for me, then you can tap me on the shoulder and go, hey man, this event sucked. I want my money back. And I'll fucking give you your money back. All right. Yeah. That's how much I believe in it. And by the way, spouse tickets are half price for all of our events because we believe it's important that you are both in the room together. You're hearing this shit and you're growing together, whether your spouse works in the business or not. Okay. It's important that you're connected like that. All right. Appreciate y'all. Dan, thank you.
Always
thank
fun. You,
as I lose my shit half the time.
Rants are always good.
There you go. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Share the Contractor Fight with somebody else. Guys, we're out. Thanks.
Hey, fighters. Hopefully you got some value today from the Q&A episode and that you learned something that you can apply in your business. If you have a question, send an email to help@thecontractorfight.com. And in the subject line, put the word podcast and we will get that question. We'll answer it on air for you. And also, don't forget to share this with another contractor. Give us a review on iTunes, wherever you listen to this. Super appreciate you hanging out with us here today. You guys rock. We got to roll. We're out.